We're just going to take 10, 12 minutes. And you know that's the truth. We're going to look into the Word of God for a couple minutes here. Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, just the last part of chapter 5 and first part of chapter 6. Just going to touch on a couple of things here. And how many saw Nick Valenza the other night walking across Niagara Falls? Some of you did, some of you didn't. Took a challenge upon himself to do that, to become the first man in the world to walk across that particular part of the falls anyway, and did it. And it's interesting, he's a Christian man. And you hear him talk about the Lord and how he's praising the Lord and different things. And I thought that was quite interesting. But anyway, as fathers today, this is Father's Day, and I like to throw out some challenges to fathers. He took a challenge to walk across that water, so anything that, you know, we do shouldn't be so hard as that. But we're going to look at the 7 different challenges, and I'm just going to give them to you quickly, that as fathers we need to take as we raise our families to know the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 first. We're just going to read a couple verses, skip down, or read one verse and skip down a couple. Ephesians 5:25, Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Verse 28, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Down to verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just pray and ask God's direction right here. Father, we're so thankful once again, Lord, for this wonderful day. We thank you, Lord, for each father that's here. And Father, you know, in our own selves, Lord, we're so inadequate sometimes, Lord, to do what we know we should be doing. So, Father, as we look into the Word today, as we look at these challenges, Father, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding, help us, Lord, to see things here that we can put into practice in our lives, and help us, Lord, to become the fathers that you would have us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. As I said, there's challenges that each one of us must take in life and different things. And the guy the other night walking across the Niagara Falls was a great challenge. He had a better nerve than I got. I find it hard enough to get up on a ladder, let alone try to walk across on something like that. But everyone do their own thing, I guess. But the Bible says here, and we're going to look at 7 different challenges. First of one, and as a father, as a husband, this is your first challenge. I take the challenge to love the mother of my children more. We just read the scripture, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And there's a number of different ways that we can express our love to our wives. And we're just talking to men today, so the women can just take a deep breath. We're not going to pick on you at all. And but as husbands, you know, our responsibility is to be the head of the family. Doesn't mean to be the boss of the family and beat people around and things like this, but to be the head of the family, show respect and show love and show concern. And there's a number of different ways that we can show that love. And when we're talking about showing love to the mother of our children, we're talking about showing that love in front of the children. Let the children know that we love their mother. And they say that the families are brought up, children are brought up knowing that the mom and dad loves each other. It's got a better chance when they get married to have a successful marriage as well. But here are some different ways. These are just practical things that are down here. I would seek to be faithful in doing little things, like opening the car door for her. Emily does that. Placing her chair at the table. I'm going to get all the men mad at me today. Give her special gifts or little gifts on special occasions. Write her some love letters. Take her hand while you stroll, while you go for a walk. Don't walk 10 feet in front of her and just drag her along like there's a dog coming behind you or something. Praise her in the presence of your children. Even when the supper is burned on, tell her how good it is. So number one, love the mother of my children more. Number two, I take the challenge to listen more. Most fathers find it hard to listen to their children. Sometimes you come home from work, and I'm not trying to be harsh on anyone here today, but sometimes we come home from work and we're tired and everything else and so many other things on your mind that you don't have time sometimes to, you feel you don't have time anyway, to spend with your children. But there's nothing more important than letting our children know that we're concerned about them and that we understand where they're coming from and understand some of their problems, even though it's such a small thing to us, but to them it's a big issue, and that we need to be there. And we need to learn to be patient and to love our children in these areas and to learn to listen to them. I was reading an article that says, one evening a small boy tried to show his father a scratch on his finger. Finally, after repeated attempts to gain his father's attention, the father stopped reading the newspaper and said impatiently, "Well, I can't do anything about it now, can I?" "Yes, Daddy," the small voice said. "You could have said, oh." See, it's only something simple sometimes just to let them know that we're concerned. And so we need to learn to listen more to our children. They say that an average child, by the time he reaches age 15, asks an average of 500,000 questions. So I know you don't have 500,000 answers, but you can try your best to express to them and let them know that their questions are important to you and that you're concerned about them. Number three, I would seek more opportunities to give my child a feeling of belonging in the family. When a child feels that it belongs to the family and that he's got worth there, that child will grow up having self-esteem and know that he's of worth to others and to God as well. A child feels he belongs to the family when he's involved in the responsibilities of the family. I was listening to a fellow preach one time, and he was talking about how he was in someplace in the Middle East. And he said, you're all, in those countries, you see people out on the side of the road, they're bartering all the time. They have, things on their tables for sale and different things. And they were saying that in this particular store, this man went in to buy something, and his wife was bartering with a young fellow. He said, about 13 years old. And he said, he thought to himself, man, it's strange that a young fellow have this shop by himself. And he said he finally went along, as he was walking through the store himself, and his wife was still bartering with this young fellow, he went in and he said there was an elderly gentleman, he said, just sitting back in a chair in a little room off to the side. And he looked at him for a while, and the man said, good day to him. He said, oh, he said, you can speak English. He said, yes. And he said, I noticed, he said, my wife is out there, he said, bartering with a young fellow. He said, is that your son? He said, yes. He said, aren't you concerned? He said, that he would sell something, he said, undervalue? He said, no. He said, he's never missed a sale yet, he said, but I've give him the responsibility, because when I get off the scene, he said, he's going to take over the responsibility of the business. And as parents, we need to give our children the responsibility sometimes to fail, to make mistakes, because we all say we learn by our mistakes. And sometimes as parents, we come down harsh on our children when they make a mistake, instead of using that as an experience that they can grow by. So we need to get to the place that we will give more opportunities for the children to become part of the family and be involved in the ownership of the family and the responsibility in the family. So that was number three. Number four, I take a challenge to express words of appreciation and praise more. Sometimes we can praise everyone else. We can praise everyone else's children. We can praise people at work. We can praise people for doing things and encourage them and stuff like that. But it's so hard sometimes to do it for our own families. And, the most important people in the world to you is your own family. We need to understand that. And it's not your job. It's not some business partner. The most important people in the world to you is your own family. And as fathers, we need to take the initiative to express thanks and praise and encouragement and let people know that you're proud of them and you're glad for what they're doing. And sometimes we criticize them all the time when they make mistakes, but they do something good, we don't say a word to them. But we need to learn to commend the right as well. As well as we condemn the wrong, we need to commend the right and let them know that they have people at home that loves them and is concerned for them. Now I'm going through these a bit quickly and leaving out a lot of stuff here, but you get the idea. Number five, I take the challenge to spend more time together as a family. And we're living in a society, and I can remember when we were going to school, and I mentioned this many times, but we were going to school, and we got up around grade 8 and 9, things like this. And they were saying, by the 1980s, which, you know, is in the past to a lot of you now, well, to all of us is in the past, but to a lot of you, that's a long time ago. But to some of us, it's not that far back. But they say, by the time we get into the 1980s, we're going to be so bored with so much time on our hand, we're not going to know what to do. Anybody have that problem? It seems like, you know, we have machines that can do a lot of our work for us, but then we take on something else and we fill ourselves up again with other problems, you know. And we never find that time to do things. They asked 300 students one time, they were grade 7 students, and they said, for 2 weeks, mark down all the time that your dad spends with you talking one-on-one. One-on-one. And they said, after 2 weeks, the students came back, and they said, and a lot of the students, their fathers never showed up for 3 and 4 days. They never saw their father in that two-week period for 3 and 4 days at a time. And they said, when it was all balanced out, when they figured out how much time the parents, or the father in this particular case, spent with the children, 7.5 minutes directly speaking to the child in 2 weeks. You know, and you wonder sometimes why there's all the confusion in the world, when there's so much turmoil and everything else, and families falling to pieces and all these different things. As fathers, we have a responsibility to care for our families and to train them, bring them up right. Arthur Gordon, the writer of the Guidepost magazine, tells an interesting experience from his youth. He said, when I was around 13 and my brother was 10, he said, our father promised to take us to the circus. But at lunch, he said, there was a phone call. Some urgent business required his attention downtown. He said, my brother and I braced ourselves for the disappointment. Then we heard him say, no, I won't be down. It'll have to wait. When he came back to the table, mother smiled. She said, the circus comes back, you know. I know, said my father, but childhood doesn't. That's pretty good, isn't it? The circus will come back. Other things will come around. I heard a pastor say years ago, he said, and he was a pastor that was a superintendent in the denomination we were with at the time, and grew up through and had family and different things in ministry. And he said, one thing he's regretted, he said, since he's, became a older man, he said, looking back over his years, he said, how many times did I put the family to one side? He says, well, I go to a board meeting, or I go somewhere else and do something for somebody else in the church. And he said, lift my own family out. And he used to warn us young pastors, don't ever put other people before your own family. Yeah, you understand that? God gave you your family. That's your responsibility as a father, to look after your little group of, you're the head, the CEO over that little group, and pay close attention to that. I take the challenge to laugh more. You know, sometimes, and we've all been through this, we talk sometimes with our children now, and they say, well, you know, we were young, we did such and such and such and such, we went there, and we look at it and say, we didn't know you did that. Of course not, we wouldn't tell you, you know, because you knew you'd get in trouble. But now we look at it and we laugh at it. Well, why can't we laugh at it when it's happening? Why can't we understand, you know, that we need to make the family a place of fun and happiness and joy that the children longs to be around? Some people, you know, their children just long to get away from home, and some families long to get their children up and gone. I've never ever had that. I told you last week, I don't think they should have got married till they're about 40 years old. I'd like to keep them right where they're at all the time. I know that's, you know, a bit stretching it, probably 38 or 39, but to me, the family is the most precious thing in the world, and we need to make sure that we look at our family. The Bible says, a cheerful heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. If you're always criticizing your children, always harsh on them, always beating them, you're going to just dry them up spiritually, physically, every other way. Let's do everything we can to make the home a happy place. And the last one, I take the challenge to talk more about my relationship with God, my Father. You know, children grow up, and our children grew up in a pastor's home. We went to ministry. Our oldest one was, what, 5, I guess? The middle one, she was youngest at that time, she was 3. And all they can remember is being in a pastor's house. But even, you know, and we've had prayer with them, and we've, you know, encouraged them and whatever. And even now, sometimes I think, I said, Lord, did I put enough into them? It's like Ms. Mutchin mentioned earlier. Did we put enough into them? Are we bring them up so when they get older, they'll have enough strength to stand spiritually themselves? And I've often thought of that in my own family. And do I talk enough about my relationship with God, how I came to the Lord, what changed in my life, the change that God made in our lives? We need to express that to our children and help them to understand that, dad and mom have a relationship with God. Well, we're picking on Father's Day. My father's got a relationship with God. And I told you the statistics, I think it was last year we went through this. When children grow up and just the mother takes them to church, the father doesn't, 15% of the children remain in church. When the father takes them to church, when the father alone takes them to church, 87% remain in church. But when the father and mother takes them to church, 93% of the children stay in church. See, our responsibility is far greater than we could ever realize. We need to take the challenge, and these seven challenges today, and I know we went through them a bit quickly, and you might not remember them. We'll go through them quick in a minute. But I just want to read you a story. I read this years ago when we were in Newfoundland. We had just gone to a new church, and another denomination contacted me, and they said, "Will you do a fundraising for this particular town?" They said, "Would you do the fundraising?" They said, "There's been an earthquake in Armenia." Now, this is back in 1988. I don't know if anybody can remember that, but there was a big earthquake in Armenia. I found a story the other day. It said, in the country of Armenia, in 1988, Samuel and Danielle sent their young son, Arman, off to school. Samuel squatted before his son, looked him in the eye, "Have a good day at school, and remember, no matter what, I'll always be there for you." They hugged each other, and the boy ran off to school. Hours later, a powerful earthquake rocked the area, and in the midst of the pandemonium, Samuel and Danielle tried to discover what happened to their son, but they couldn't get any information. The radio was announcing that there were thousands of casualties. Samuel grabbed his coat and headed towards the schoolyard. When he reached the area, he saw Arman's school was a pile of debris. Other parents were standing around crying. And Samuel found a place where his son's classroom used to be and began pulling a broken beam off the pile of rubble. He then grabbed a rock and put it to the side and then grabbed another one. One of the parents looking on asked, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm digging for my son." The man said, "You're just going to make things worse. The building is unstable." And he tried to pull Samuel away from his work. But Samuel set his jaw and kept on working. As time wore on, one by one, the other parents left. Then a firefighter tried to pull Samuel away from the rubble. Samuel looked at him and said, "Won't you please help me?" The firemen turned and left, and Samuel kept digging. All through the night and into the next day, Samuel continued digging. Other parents placed flowers and pictures of their children on the ruins, but Samuel just kept working. Finally, as he picked up a beam and pushed it out of the way, he heard a faint cry, "Help, help." Samuel listened, but he couldn't hear anything. Then he heard a small, muffled voice, "Papa?" Samuel began to dig furiously. Finally, he could see his son. "Come on out, son," he said with relief. "No," our man said. "Let the other kids come out first, because I know you'll get me." Child after child emerged, until finally, little our man appeared. Samuel took him in his arms, and our man said, "I told the other kids not to worry, because you told me you'd always be there for me." 14 children were saved that day, because one father was faithful. And as fathers today, our responsibility before God is to be faithful to our families, faithful to our wives, faithful to our children, and do everything in our power. And I'm not here trying to tell you you've got to be walking on water all the time. None of us are perfect. There's only one that's perfect, and it's Jesus. But he's taken his righteousness, the Bible says, and if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, he's taken his righteousness and given it to you. And you stand in God before God in his righteousness. That's the gospel message. And as fathers here today, I'd like for you to take the challenge. Maybe, I'm not going to try to embarrass you by no means. Let's all the fathers stand up. Okay, if you're a father here today, stand up. Not going to read off those challenges again before we finish up this morning. And I want you to repeat them with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. Don't get nervous. You're all going to read them together or say them together. Okay? And as fathers today, let's make up our mind that from this day forward, to the best of our abilities, we're going to keep those challenges. Take those challenges. Now you repeat after me just so you'll get them into your brain. Okay? I take the challenge to love the mother of my children more. I take the challenge to listen more. I take the challenge to seek more opportunities to give my children a feeling of belonging. I take the challenge to express words of appreciation and praise more to my children. I take the challenge to spend more time together as a family. I take the challenge to laugh more. You can't get that to work, look in the mirror some morning. That'll help you. Number 7, I take the challenge to talk more of my relationship with God, my Heavenly Father. We're going to just close in prayer. But as fathers today, and don't leave because I got some gifts here for the fathers, but as fathers today, take those challenges, and throughout the week and throughout the days ahead and throughout the years ahead, try the best of your ability to keep those challenges and others that the Lord would bring into your pathway, you know, as time goes on. But let's make up our mind that we're going to become the husbands and the fathers that God wants us to be, and do our utmost best to bring our children up, that when they get older, they will most naturally turn from wrong to the right and serve Jesus as their Lord and Savior.